Woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. Didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert.
Hello and welcome to Sunday Morning Coming Down, starting with a little sip of some Jack Daniel's Fire. It's sort of their cinnamon flavor. Picked it up at Catronio's liquor store here in White Bear Lake. I've been trying for the last few weeks to get people to buy their beer and wine and spirits online, but most of our listeners think of the liquor store like a toy store. They like going in there. They like seeing people and shopping, picking stuff out, seeing what's new, seeing that there's a second flavor pack of White Claws, not just one. As a matter of fact, there's a new peanut butter whiskey in addition to Screwball. There's something that's out that's called Squirrel, and they did one of those weird brand things where the name is like S-Q-R-R-L, Squirrel. The owner of Catronio's Heartache gave me a sip of it, and it's funny, Screwball tastes a little bit like Bit of Honey, and this one really tastes like thick peanut butter. It's like you had a big piece of Wonder Bread and you took creamy Jif and just spread it on there, you know, and the bread tears a little bit as you're spreading the peanut butter. It has that kind of flavor. So this week, instead of getting you to buy stuff online, we're going to make it easy for you, and we're going to reward you with a Sunday Coming Down secret password. So if you go over to Catronio's and you want to get some of your wine, some of your Tito's, whatever you're buying, if you tell them the secret password of the week, which is this week is Mr. Boombastic, I'll explain this later, that's Mr. Boombastic, that's going to get 10% off whatever you're buying over at Catronio's. So check them out, visit them, tell them thanks for sponsoring us. So we're going to dig in. I had a big week. We went to California. A couple of you might remember I had talked about a guy's trip that was being planned to San Diego, and we ended up kind of doing a Zoom call and voting on whether or not we should go. The vote kind of split. Two of us said we should go, and three of us thought no, which is fine. Everybody's dealing with this stuff in their own way. And so the couple of us that voted yes said, why don't we just, you know, my buddy lived out where the guy's trip was going to be, the other yes vote. And I said, well, you know what, I'm going to keep my flight out. Maybe I'll buy one with miles for my wife and we'll turn it into a little couples trip. So went out to Laguna, California, and it was awesome. It's so cool to kind of spend some time with a good friend, but maybe you don't know his wife all that well. He doesn't know your wife all that well because we're high school buddies, and this guy's lived all over the country. And so I haven't had a chance for our wives to get connected, so it was really cool to be able to do that. His wife is very into health and wellness, and so it was kind of a sporty weekend. You know, we were hiking, we were biking, we rode on a ferry. We did everything. And, you know, every morning you'd maybe go on a run or you'd go on a hike. I think, so tying you back into the intro, at one point we had a few hard kombuchas, we rented some bikes, and we just drove down the beach, people watching. And they're kind of these old-fashioned cruiser bikes. And we were just kind of rolling through California, looking at people, watching guys go by, watching girls go by. And at one point, two guys passed us on bikes doing the same thing. And the one guy had a speaker on his bike, and he was playing Mr. Boombastic, Mr. Fantastic. And they were just going from side to side on the road. And it was like something out of, you know, a Dumb and Dumber or one of those movies. It was so great just to watch, and kind of a hazy sun with all the fires going on out there. And so a lot of activities. And, you know, what's exciting for me to see is this friend of mine, I guess he would be the closest to a, I guess he would be the McConaughey of our friend group. It's so hard for me to say because I wish I was the McConaughey. But as he's been an artist his whole life. He was a kid in high school that used to take a sleeve off of a t-shirt and sew it onto another t-shirt to make his own clothing because that's what he was going to do. He had the basement room, you know, with his own door outside, you know, just kind of the, I don't know, the cool guy. And now that he's been moving around the country and they're older, it's like he used to, when you would visit his house, there used to be a little area in his house that was, his name's Taylor, that was kind of a Taylor spot. But now, because they've been so many places, the entire house is filled with their art. It's all kind of constructed. It was like I was visiting Planet Taylor. You know, the whole experience was just exactly him. And he's the kind of guy, he went out in his backyard early on and he realized you could see the beach from one spot in their yard. So he built a little platform. There's a table there. There's four chairs. There's an umbrella. And we sat there every single night, early evening, having some kombucha or some wine, you know, looking out towards the ocean. So he's a guy who showers out of the hose outside. And I don't know what it is about that, but it's even better. I mean, to go on a run and come back to the driveway and take the cold hose, put some Irish Spring in your hair and all over your body and wash yourself off in the driveway with the hose is, I don't know, it's better. I hate to say it. And he's always known that. He's always kind of known those things that make you feel good. And he now has this entire planet that he's built with his family living with him. And it was fun because they're in Laguna. You know, we started watching that show Cobra Kai. If you haven't watched it, it's kind of the Karate Kid. It's, I guess, a TV show talking about what it's like for those characters from that movie many years later. I only bring that up, A, because it's awesome. B, because Johnny from Karate Kid basically only drinks Coors Banquet throughout the entire show, which I just think is so wonderful. And also because we concluded that my buddy's high school aged son, who's, you know, a sophomore, he's the new kid at Laguna Beach High School. And he comes from Carolina. And so we just kind of dawned on us, you know, this kid's life right now is it's out of an 80s movie. He's moving in to Laguna. He's trying out for the water polo team. And we said, you know, his name, by the way, is Bodie. So when your name is Bodie Taylor, you're already on third base in terms of all those things. And so he's coming into town. We said, Bodie, you know, this is great. You're gonna, you know, this is how it goes. We've all seen 180s movies, so at first they're gonna be mean to you, and you're gonna have a group of friends that are your, you know, they're kind of giving you a hard time. But at some moment, you know, something's gonna happen, and a kid's gonna say to you, "Hey, Carolina, you can swim with us anytime on the water polo team." I don't know if it's gonna happen exactly like that, but to be that age in that place, you know, we walk through this high school, and it's like every high school in California in the movies, with open air and people walking around. It just, what an experience he's going to have out there. All of them are going to have out there. The, you know, other than that, a couple notes. His father-in-law is someone that has kind of moved around with them a little bit. The family motto is sort of life is an adventure, and he's on that plan for sure. And he has this little place near them in Laguna, this little house. And I think every guy has this kind of fantasy, this fantasy of just simplifying. You know, living in an Airstream is a common one, or, you know, I'm going to buy a little tiny place. I'm going to have six, you know, pairs of jeans and six t-shirts, and that's going to be my life. Well, the father-in-law, he has this just awesome little place. He, you know, you come in there, he's got the two chairs set up in front of the TV like Joey and Chandler, and the fridge has got beer in it. He might have a plastic bag with some cookies. And I just, every time I would go over there, we would kind of stop by on the way out or the way home. And I was just so comfortable. I was, you know, I just wanted to stay there. I wanted to be like, hey, can we play, you know, can we play cribbage? Can I fall asleep in one of these chairs? At one point, my wife was telling him about the Bang cookies. And he's with us at the other place. And he just says, well, I'm going to leave now. And where are you going? Well, I'm going to go back to my little place down the hill, and I'm going to try cooking some of these cookies. But he's not going to cook a bunch of them. He's just going to cook a small batch. Hell, when you live that life, he could have gone back there and just made two cookies out of dough and cooked just two cookies and sat on his chair. And it was so great. I just loved it. The something about the simplicity as a guy is just so wonderful, to know that there is a person out there living the way that all of us imagine living at some point. Other than that, I saw a couple buddies out in California that, you know, typically during these COVID times, someone will agree to make plans to see you and then they will cancel on you. Well, both of them showed up. It was wonderful. We golfed with one of them. He got us on a course that we probably wouldn't have got on. And he had this great line. I said, well, you know, it's awesome that you got us out on this golf course. You got that fuck you money from the job you had before. And he just puts his hand up. He goes, no, I got screw you money, not fuck you money. It's very different. But either way, we got out onto the course, which was awesome. In related news, we know the quarantine is getting closer to over because you now have to rake the sand traps at golf courses, at least at this one. So that was kind of a nice thing, like not having to rake the sand trap. That was, if you made a list of the pros and cons of 2020, one of the like three things in the pros would be we don't have to rake the sand trap when we golf. But I guess that's coming back. For all you other golfers out there, do any of you have this thing where when you tee off, I have to find my tee? And, you know, it goes flying in the air and you don't know where it is. But I'm deeply troubled by it if I can't find it. I turn into like Liam Neeson, you know, is that his name? Liam Neeson, you know, searching for his daughter or son or whatever those movies were. It's like, you know, leave no tea behind. I can't even handle it when I can't find it. That's just me asking the group if anyone else has that situation. One of the things we were talking about is when I was in California with my buddy is I bought some nuts at the farmer's market because I knew my buddy liked pistachios and we're eating them. And he says, you know, this is my dad's spirit animal food. And I said, spirit animal food? What does that mean? He goes, oh, you know, like that food that they love and everybody knows they love. And, you know, if you were at your funeral, they might put that food out in little cups because it reminds people of you. And I thought, holy crap, you know, my dad loves Chuckles, this candy. They're like, you know, fruit gumdrop kind of things called Chuckles. I think you get five of them in a pack. So totally, if we were having a party for my dad, Chuckles would be a party favor. And it occurred to me, you know, at one point, the conversation, someone said to my wife, well, what's John's spirit animal food? And she said, pizza. I was like, oh my God, pizza. That I haven't done this right. Like, that's so mainstream. And so I was thinking about it. I really love those Barnum animal crackers that come in the little box with that dirty brown wax paper. I think generally I like Teddy Grahams. My buddy in California kind of said, you like to eat, I guess, carbohydrates shaped like animals. I think that's true. I used to remember, does anybody remember the pink bag of animal crackers? And you would tear it open and they were brown animal crackers that had been like painted with pink on the front. Oh my God, were they awesome. And some of them didn't even have the pink paint all the way on them. Those things were so good. So yeah, I think my spirit animal snack is actually an animal snack, if that makes sense. What else do we got? Learn some lessons on this trip from this family. It was so great to be around them. You know, to go back to one of the questions from a few weeks ago, a kid called in asking why he had to make his bed. Well, my buddy's wife was talking about how, you know, she had watched a Navy SEAL talk about making your bed as the first step to having a great day. And so her son, the one who's living a 1980s movie, every morning he makes his bed and then he leaves his room, which is also in the basement with a door, just like my buddy's was. So I guess cool people just pass cool things to their children. But he makes his bed and then he hugs his mother. I mean, how awesome is that? Even if everything else goes wrong, you started the day by making your bed and hugging your mother. That is a program, and that is awesome. Speaking of programs, I'm trying my September initiatives. I love this golf shirt retirement tour. I don't know why. I've had people, really, you have that many golf shirts? Yeah, I think I do. And it's the rite of passage. It's the changing of the seasons. It's almost my own personal version of the leaves changing colors as my golf shirt sort of morphs on my body and gets put in those two bins up on the shelf of my bureau. So many more shirts to go, folks. We don't have to worry. We're going to have a couple 80-degree days next week, so the season of death has slowed down. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe we might have 40 more golf shirts. So exciting stuff. I did work on the fire pit a little bit this week. I'm not picking the weeds out of the rocks. I'm trying to use Roundup. And I'm just going to keep blasting it with Roundup till it all just dies and I step on it, I think. I cut some wood. I sawed wood, or chainsawed, however you prefer to say it, working on that stack. And it's starting to get cleared out. I'm hoping to maybe even have a bonfire this week, maybe listen to the twins on the radio or something like that. As for the TG12, my diet plan, it's going okay. I think I'm doing the intermittent fasting, but what I find myself doing is I'm looking at the clock going, man, I can't eat past 8 o'clock. You know, I better hammer a big dinner or a big lunch, or maybe I can eat dinner at 6 and then I could have ice cream at 7:45. So I'm kind of like adjusting my normal eating into the 8 hours, but we'll see. We'll see if we make some progress. Related to that, I thought this was great. I was in the basement the other day and I was over by the laundry machine. So I wasn't in the main basement area. I think it was in the morning. And the wife comes down and she's looking for me and she can't find me. And she comes into the laundry room. I think I was listening to something like in headphones, right? And she says, oh, God, I thought you were dead. I thought you were dead. Awesome. I'm not. I didn't know that was such a quick switch to flip, but she couldn't find me. And I guess She thought I might just be laying down next to the Speed Queen washing machine, just totally tapped out. Maybe my hands are folded. I got my death letter in my pocket, got her picture in my hat like a soldier. But no, I wasn't dead. So that just shows, I guess, the picture of health that I am, that if my wife can't find me for like 3 minutes, she assumes that I've died. Awesome. And a part of the reason for that, in fairness, is we were driving through Roseville this week, and there used to be a bakery in Roseville, and it was aptly named the Roseville Bakery. And it had the best donuts in the world. And I knew that because we used to live in St. Paul, right by the State Fair, and I would get the donuts. And so when we moved to White Bear Lake, I liked those donuts so much that when I would drive to downtown Minneapolis, I started stopping every morning to get a Long John donut from the Roseville Bakery. My wife aptly refers to this as the donut days. I think it was actually more like the donut decade, because I did get into some lower quality product. I even stopped for Supermoms. I would have two Supermom donuts at what used to be called Super America. Remember SA, folks? And every morning, Monday to Friday, a donut on the way to work, or two donuts on the way to work. I mean, that's amazing. Maybe I might be dead soon. But I guess that's just a reminder that for me, no matter what happens, I still, deep inside my core, I'm basically Uncle Buck. I'm wearing a hockey jersey. I like to eat in my car. And I'm going to buy a little box of Barnum animal crackers if I'm at Target on the end cap, no matter what. So other than that, I think, you know, I did score two goals at Tuesday Night Hockey. I'm not saying that I'm going to stick for sure, but that's not terrible. It is continuing to cost me a little money at the bar afterwards. I don't think anybody's letting goals in because they've been decent goals. I think the guys would agree with that. After hockey this week, I had some closure on the GUZ issue, not the GUZZ issue. My good friend Guzzo shortening his initials to GUZ when I thought it should be GUZZ. He confessed that a big reason for this was when he played Asteroids as a kid, you could only put three letters in when you got the high score, and so rather than put his initials, he would put GUZ. So I think that makes me feel better about the whole deal. All right, let's talk ribs for a second. Michelbobs, michelbobs.com, michelbobs.com. I have gotten some people to order these, and by the way, everybody likes them. They're awesome. I always wonder when I hear people doing sponsor reads on podcasts, like, do they actually like that stuff? And they certainly don't, because most podcasts have all the same brands on them. They don't have the brands we have on our podcast, so you know they're legit. But Michelbobs is awesome. So a friend of ours asked me if she should buy them, and I said, yeah. She sent me a note. She said, do you really like them? You know, and I said, yes, absolutely. You should get them. They're amazing. I love them. And so I just asked her, I said, did you try the ribs yet? I texted her, curious your review. So excited. We had last minute company from Georgia today. They were great. We had the habanero on the side. Loved. Two more exclamation points if you're keeping track of exclamation points for Michelbobs. And I just said, I was nervous because you are a rib pro yourself, but the 6 minutes is ridiculous. She says, I got them yesterday with five sauces. I said, I love the sauces. She said, same. There's another an exclamation point. Put it in the bank, Michelbobs. So, a big fan. Ribs haven't been this easy since Adam gave one of his to Eve. It's spreading. Listeners are buying them. Try it. Might cost you $100. Get five racks, get five things of sauces. You'll thank me later. So I'm going to do one question this week because it's a big one. I believe it's one of the best questions we've ever had on the podcast. It really, it staggered me a little bit. Have a listen.
Hey, John, it's Christine. I know as parents these days, we think a lot about what life lessons we want to teach our children. Wondered if you could share what life lessons each of your kids have taught you and your wife. Love your podcast. Keep rolling.
You know, I wish I thought about that more. It's true. You know, what lessons are we learning from our kids? And so I tried to start dissecting this, and I think, you know, I started that both of our kids have made us value happiness. And for different reasons. You know, one kid might be just happy all the time. The other kid may be showing you a fight and a tenacity to get to happy that amazes you. But both of them have made us value happiness. And they've both been a reminder that every kid is different. You know, people say that and it seems like a cliche, but man, is it true. I mean, we have one kid who we spend most of our time saying, everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. It's all good. No reason to stress, or it's fine. This is normal. And then we have another kid that we spend all of our time saying, it's not going to be okay. You have to do this. You have to do this or that, or if you don't, it's not going to be okay. So it's pretty funny, the contrast, right? So what have I learned from our kids? Well, from my daughter, I've learned a lot about gender. And what I mean by that is about strength with females and women. She, when she was really little, I had read something, and it was it said, you know, when your daughter is little, you should compliment. This is so stupid. I don't know where this was written. I don't know where I read this. Probably somewhere, just a terrible website or something. But it said, when your daughter's little, as a father, you should make a point to compliment her, so that the first time she gets a compliment, it's not from some bad guy down the road, probably on prom night or something. But, and it was kind of like, you know, I think it even said, like, try complimenting, like, her hair, you know, pick like a neutral thing. And so, like every guy, I had read this like 5 minutes before I decided I should, you know, apply the thinking. And so we're walking through the backyard of our home here in White Bear Lake, and I just remember it was actually a sunny day, and I looked at her and I was going to compliment her hair, and her hair looked nice that day in the sun. And I said, hey, you know, Peyton, your hair looks really nice today. You have beautiful hair, I think I said. And she says, she just looks right at me and goes, Dad, if you're going to compliment me, I would prefer it was on academics or athletics, not on appearance. It's like, holy shit, we got a live one here. So right away, you know, this strength coming from a young woman. I mean, this was a hockey player who had a clapper, not a slap shot from the point. She had a clapper. She could hammer it top shelf from the point. And after her last game, you know, these young athletes today, it's hard for them to mix, you know, that you got to be pretty on the straight and narrow. And it was her last game. She got eliminated from the playoffs. And I remember she called me on the way home and said, hey, Dad, when I get home, I want to have a beer with you. And I was just, what? You know, and I was so excited. I put two glasses in the freezer. But I was so excited, I didn't know if I heard her right. I thought maybe I had misheard her. And so I almost needed her to say it again when she walked in the door and we sat there and had a beer at the end of her high school hockey career. You know, she's a person who, when kids were picking on her brother at a tennis match, she walked right up to him. Hey, you think it's funny to be a dick? What's up with that? Why are you acting this way? I'm like, oh my God. You know, so I think she's taught me a lot. You know, you think of how you raise daughters, and you know, you might, you know, we're showing our son The Wolf of Wall Street, and then we're showing our daughter, you know, 16 Candles, and oh, look, you know, Jake Ryan, he's still there after the car pulls away, versus, you know, Leo, you know, on a boat, you know, doing crazy stuff. So it was such a reminder, you know, as she's grown up, I remember one point she was working out like a fiend, and she went to this big tournament, and in the tournament, it was guys and girls, and, you know, separately, but in the same big tournament, and all the guys had their heights and weights listed, and she had gained a bunch of weight to be a better defenseman, and she was furious because they didn't list the girl hockey player's weight in the program. Cut to college, you know, she played club hockey, and then she ended up playing with the boys' club hockey team, practicing with them because she talked to them about that. So I can't imagine as a young woman having that sort of fearlessness, tenacity. She's a soldier. You know, ironically, her favorite color seems to be army green, and I think that's because she's a soldier. She's taught me a lot about women being badasses, you know, not strong. Like, I remember when the Canadian hockey team won the gold medal, they brought a pitcher of beer out on the ice and smoked cigars, and everyone was furious at them. And I mean, that, you know, this, you know, my daughter, she'll smoke a cigar, and someday when she's working, you know, out there in the workforce, she'll probably get her shoes shined sitting up on the big chair at the airport, right in front of everybody, because she's a badass. So that's what she's taught me. My son, you know, he has happiness as his superpower. He has a real ease of life. And it's not that life is easy. It's that he believes it's all good. It's all going to work out. I mean, even that phrase, it's all good. I mean, I don't have that DNA in my body to think that. You know, I'm always worrying, or I got the Catholic guilt, whatever the case may be. But he's kind of got one headphone in, you know, one AirPod in one ear, listening to some music. He's got a little happy dance that he does. And, you know, he's just kind of trusting that it's going to work out. He's also taught me about independence. You know, as his father, it's been hard, because the only type of parenting I really know is coaching, right? Hey, here's an index card. You know, what do you want to achieve in the next 3 months? And, you know, tucking a little picture in the corner of your mirror. You know, that's kind of how I'm wired. He's not wired that way. That's not how he works. If that's a big turnoff to make that index card for him. So he's taught me independence. He's teaching me, you know, I'm trying to give him some space as a young man. Because now that I think about it, my dad wasn't hovering over me when I was that age. So you need some space. He's also just really kind, and he just likes everybody. You know, when he got knocked out of high school tennis by some seventh grade kids. And by the way, he had done the same thing when he was a seventh grader. He had knocked some seniors out. But if you contrast how those situations played out, when my son got knocked out by the two seventh graders, who were probably so excited but terrified to celebrate because they had knocked out these older kids, my son just looked at him and said, "Hey, you know, get in here for the real thing," and gave them both a hug. So, I mean, that's a special skill. I'm not friendly that way. I don't think to do stuff like that. You know, he can make friends with anybody. He's almost like a mascot, I think, in the sense that everybody that sees him is immediately happy. It's like Goldie Gopher, you know, spin your head. I think if someone saw me, the odds that I'm super happy and making them happier is about 10% if I'm being generous. So he teaches me a lot about happiness, independence, and all of that. And as it relates to being in the moment and kind of his, it's all good, it'll work out. I remember I called him at one point. I said, "Hey, you know, you gotta get your grades up. And there's only a couple weeks left." And I said, "I don't care what you have to do, but you gotta hustle. You gotta You got to play the edges. You got to get your grades up. So about 2 days later, we get this email from his ceramics teacher, which is just perfect. And she sends us a note. And she says, I just want you to know I received this email from your son, and it's basically inappropriate on so many levels. And so I'm like, oh, geez, this will be good. But the email is amazing. He starts out and he says, hey, whatever the teacher's name is, he goes, I think we both know I've been killing it on the ceramics wheel. I've been working hard. You've seen me working. We both know I should get a B- in this class. If I don't, I think my insurance premiums are going to go up on my car insurance, and that's going to be hard on my family. So, you know, I just love the start. You've seen it. I've been killing it on the wheel. We both know I should get a B-. And so he's basically, he's almost threatening the teacher that he needs to get a B-. And it seems like the parents are involved too, because he's referencing this car insurance going up. I didn't know whether to be mad at him or proud of him, because it was hilarious, the sort of gamesmanship that he put into it. So I, he definitely, he knows. A friend of mine once said, life isn't a struggle. It's a wiggle. And I think my son would be on that plan. So just to finish, I'm only doing one question this week because it was a hard one and it was a good one. I would encourage you guys all to ask what your kids are teaching you. I never really thought about it that way, and that's probably my own problem. But going through the exercise of doing it, I learned a lot. So I finished with, when I couldn't think of how to answer this question, I thought, if I had to get a tattoo to symbolize each kid, what would that tattoo be? And for my son, I would just get simply these three letters, BBE, best boy ever. Because when he was younger, he used to say BDE to me, and I would say BBE to him, best dad ever, best boy ever. And I think the simplicity of that, the joy of that, the feel good of that, he never outgrew it. And maybe I thought it was temporary, but he didn't. So BBE. And then for my daughter, ironically, I would probably get a big giant picture of her, because I mean, she's fierce. She's maybe wearing an army jacket, staring at me, holding a cigar in her hand. She likes to write her name with the O being a cross, you know, the women's symbol. But truthfully, she should be the circle with the spear in back, because she's fierce. She's not about necklaces as much as she'd be about shooting that arrow. But that would probably make people think she was transitioning or something, which is fine, but that's not the case. So, but I would definitely probably do a bicep of her, just a big picture of her, and then a BBE somewhere for the other one. Has anybody noticed that some of the cheap hand sanitizer, it just smells like they took the bottle and put a third of cheap tequila and then two-thirds of, like, sunscreen? It's just awesome. It's just watery. It goes everywhere. So whoever's doing that, thank you. I'm going to close with a drinking story, which means we have to talk about Will Anderson Insurance, because as a rule, stupidity is covered. And Willie is out there, 612-361-RATE. I don't know if anybody wanted him to send you the new Backwoods honey bourbon. I don't know if anybody asked for the apple pie Kit Kats, but he will save you money. He will be there when hail wrecks your roof. He will be there when a little rock chips your car shield window. He will be there when someone borrows your jet ski and totals them as a random example. But he's great. And he'll save your money. And he's a good guy. and he does insurance for you the same way he would do it for his family. So switch, save some money, do it. Okay, drinking story. It's from California. We were pretty well behaved the whole time, with the exception of one day, maybe Saturday. We're on the beach. You know, it's cold back in Minnesota. I feel like I'm winning. It's probably 80 degrees there. I'm taking in some sun. We're drinking some hard kombuchas. We need to get a little bit more seltzer and stuff to drink. So my wife and I go up to the, there's like a Stop and Shop up the hill. And you know when you're shopping, but you're already kind of buzzed? I see this thing in the cooler. It's called a Buzz Ball. And it's just this big ball. It's pink. And it's meant to be vodka and, I don't even know, pink lemonade or something. So I put this in our backpack, seal it up. It's almost like a party ball we used to have when we were younger, but it's smaller. And get back, and I'm so happy to show the group. Now, keep in mind, they're a family that's all about health and wellness, and I've essentially just bought the like a terrible, I don't even know, it's the equivalent of bringing like Pop Rocks and Orange Crush and a Slim Jim back from the Stop and Shop. I just have this garbage Buzz Ball filled with chemicals and some vodka and some Solo cups we had bought. And we just start drinking the Buzz Ball on the beach. And you know, I was so happy. And I remember even turning to my buddy and I was like, hey, I'm getting in one today. You know, I'm just going to ride the wave where it takes me. You can join me or not, but I'm going to kind of enter easy tonight. And so cut to, I believe the moment that changed it all was we're driving the Jeep back. He's got a 4-door Jeep and there's not room for all of us. So I volunteer to go on the way back, kind of the trunk area with all of the chairs from the beach. So I think that ride home in the back, you know, kind of being treated like an animal in my defense, it brought out some sort of animal instinct in me because I was in this kind of kennel area for 20 minutes. And what I ended up doing when I got back was they have kind of an electric bike. It's almost like one of these scooters that they have in a lot of the major metros now, but it's a bike, but it works the same way. You just twist the throttle and you can kind of cruise around. And his neighborhood's super confusing. It's in a huge hill. I have terrible sense of direction. I couldn't find my way to his house ever. I probably couldn't even find it with a Google map. But I get on this electric bike and I am just flying through the neighborhood. And I am feeling good and I am just cruising the streets of Laguna at high speed. I'm showing up where I need to show up. I'm going to his father-in-law's place, of course, because that's my happy place. And I'm just flying around on this bike. I wiped out once, so I had a raspberry on my hand. You know, not too much damage. I go to bed early after probably eating Thai food like some sort of zombie. I wake up the next morning and it's just this inventory that you do. And I know some people listening out there do this. So my inventory goes like this. First is phone. Where is the phone? Is a question you might ask depending on the night. Hopefully not. But you still start with the phone because you want to look at it and go, did I text anybody? Did I call anybody or FaceTime anybody? Or, you know, the phone is a hazard when you're having a big night. And I typically go back to the last point. I know I was totally sober, and then I just kind of go, oh, that's fine. Oh, that's fine. I'm surprised I FaceTimed him. So I kind of do that. And then it's wallet. And this time, the last one, because we were in California, you know, where are my sunglasses? I couldn't find my sunglasses. So I said to him, you know, hey, I don't know where my sunglasses are. Let's just keep that to ourselves, though, but keep an eye out for them. They turned up, so I didn't even lose the sunglasses. The electric bike was in the garage. I didn't think it was in the garage. I thought it was going to be at the father-in-law's place. But as it turns out, I had brought it all the way back. And the night ended, just to kind of put a bow on the story, you know, two things. The first is, my buddy said, you know, I mean, you were fine. You know, you didn't have a great short-term memory for about a half hour there. You kept asking the same question. And the funniest thing you were doing is when you would try to get off the electric bike, the throttle is your right hand twisting and turning it tight. And so it was like chewing gum and walking at the same time. You couldn't figure out, even though you were getting off the bike, to let go of the throttle. So the bike would just go zipping up into the air and you'd be holding it with one arm above your head and it would be revving. So I guess that could be my logo if I had a merchandise line. It would just be a silhouette of a guy standing on the ground holding up a electric bike with one hand over his head at full throttle. And finally, as I laid in the bed, I think I went to bed at like, the most embarrassing thing I did is probably go to bed at, you know, 8:30 at night. Even though, to my defense, on this trip, we probably only averaged going to bed at 10:30. But on this night, I went to bed at 8:30. And I just remember the last thing my wife said to me is, we're here for 5 nights and you just ruined one of them. That's 20% of the trip you ruined. And so, impressive math, actually, all good things. But so that was my story. I feel like lately I've been telling some drinking stories where the people I'm with look like the rascals and I look like I'm the straight man. I figured I would be brutally honest with you. I was the only person on this non-guys trip, this reinvented couples trip, to behave like he was on a guys trip. For one night only, the buzz ball, it happened. I'm okay. And I pulled the rocks out of my hand. So that's it for this week. Enjoy yourselves out there. Try to get the world spinning again. And think of those two guys swerving around the beach, listening to Mr. Boombastic. Get it.
Gee whiz, baby, please, let me take you to an island of the sweet cold breeze. You don't feel like drive, well, baby, hand me the keys, and I will take you to a place and set your mind at ease. Don't you tickle my foot bottom, baby, please. Don't you play with my nose, cause I'm a hachoom sneeze. Well, you are the bun and me are the cheese, and if I'm me at the rice, well, baby, love you the peas. I'm bombastic, tell me fantastic, touch me on my box, she says, Mr. O. Fantastic, touch me on me, but she says I'm Mr. Boom 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 Bastic.